You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I'm scary, because I'm the Incredible Hulk. Roar, roar. 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 I can't even see a thing. Hold on. I think if I touch that. Roar, now I'm green. Roar, roar. Okay. I can't even breathe. Here, let's go back to white. Roar, I'm scary. Okay, yeah, anyway, that's kind of childish. It would be really dumb of me to wear a kid's mask. That's kind of foolish. So how about it? Now, I know that some of you Marvel fans are like, that is not the way the Hulk really works, and I know it just happened to be the Hulk clip that I had. But how about the Incredible Hulk, right? We know him. Most of you do, I guess. I am assuming things there. But that he is the guy that was radiated, and depending on what your version is, or injected, or whatever, okay, I'm not here, okay, to prove a Marvel point. Okay, but we know that the issue with this dude is that because of his radiation, whenever he gets angry, he turns green and hulks out. He gets big, he gets mad, he gets scary, and he goes on a rampage. And he can't, frankly, doesn't control it much. There's not much that he can do when it comes to this idea of his anger and his fury and his rage. That's the tension that is the Incredible Hulk, that is Bruce Banner. This series that we're doing called Can You Feel It? If you haven't noticed, we're talking about electricity, which actually has nothing to do with it. It's just a gimmick for playing through this idea of feelings, of looking at what does it mean to feel something? What's at the root of some of our base emotions? What are the things that drive the way we feel and the way we do some things? And so this month we're going to look at different feelings. And of course, this is the month of love, the month of amore. And so we're going to look at that, of course, in a couple of weeks too. But we talk about feelings this month a lot. You know, there's little hearts that tell you all about our feelings. But one of the feelings that we don't get on a heart, I don't think, maybe you can get them these days, you can get anything you want printed on anything, but we don't get it on the heart is the idea of anger. And I want to just address this issue and look at it, because I know it is something that all of us deal with. And this idea of anger is something that if you grew up in church, you might have one opinion. If you haven't been to church ever, and that's totally cool, you might have a different opinion of that. And I'm just going to maybe throw out a third opinion when it comes to looking at this idea of anger. But I think that there's a problem, because many of us, we may not be radiated, but many of us, when it comes to anger, we hulk out and explode. And there's sometimes, some of us have just short fuses and we just go right at people. And other of us are the simmer, slow simmer type. And you wait for the right moment where you can bah, get them right where it hurts. And you laugh, like, oh, we laugh because that's kind of funny. But isn't that us? Is that not you? If that's not you, then you're probably not human. But I think there's a lot of this to us. And I want to look at what does the Bible have to say about this idea of anger? And here's the point that I want you to walk away with. Each week this month, we're going to have a shocking truth that maybe is shocking. Maybe it's not shocking. But the shocking truth is this. Anger doesn't accomplish anything. Anger doesn't accomplish anything. And some of you are already like, whoa, wait a second, I think it does. Well, that's fine. You can think all you want. I'm right, you're wrong. No. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about this issue of anger. So the lights are going to turn on if you have a paper Bible. Oh, look, they're ahead of me. Wow, awesome. And if you don't have a paper Bible, you can do a YouVersion or you can watch on the screen. And we're going to look at James chapter 1. Now, James is a letter written to people, and I'm not going to talk about where he was writing it at the time, mostly because I forget. but it was a letter written to a church, and it was written by James, and that's why it's called James. So James is writing to these people. It's a church. It's people that he loves. It's people that are followers of Jesus, and he writes some things to them, and this is what he says, and we'll unpack this here in just a moment. But he says, "My dear brothers and sisters," in chapter 1, verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth." That's an awesome word, moral filth. Sounds like something my grandfather would talk about, the moral filth of... Anyway, get rid of all moral filth. I like my grandpa. He's dead, actually. But I liked him then, too. He's with Jesus. Anyway, moral filth, focus, and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So I want to look at this. What is James? James says here, we need to be slow to anger. So what's going on? What's all the stuff that's tied in here to this idea of anger? This idea of hulking out? This idea of taking what's something that is, just, maybe it's not even a big deal. Do you ever have one of those moments where you like just go off on something that's not even a big deal? Like moving tables to the back of the garage? I mean, like, come on. Do you ever have one of those moments where just a little thing just gets you? We'll talk about maybe why that happens and what God wants us to do about it. So let's look at this passage real quick. I'm going to fly through this part because there's some stuff at the end. I really want to talk about how we deal with this issue. So the first thing that James says is that anger should be slow. When it comes to this idea of being poisoned from within, James says anger should be slow. It is something that should take time. And that's what he says in the first part of the verse. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters." Now, I need you to understand a couple of things here. First of all, the word "dear" is a Greek word that has to do with this idea of agape love, unconditional love. And so James is saying, look, people, I love you. I'm about to say something, but I want you to understand that as I say it, it's because I love you. And I think even as we tackle this subject together, maybe it's going to step on your toes. And if it doesn't, you probably don't have toes. Because this is something we all deal with. And I want to just say, as James did, my dear brothers and sisters, people that I love, this is who I'm talking to. And that's what James is saying. He's talking to people that he loves. And says, I'm talking to you because I love you, and we're going to deal with some things here. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. And I think that's a really poor translation, because I know better than translators that have studied for years and years. Whatever. But anyway, the word doesn't mean just like, hey, here's an idea. And there's that voice again. Sorry. Hey, here's an idea. The word really means like, this is something that you need to get. You need to know this. It needs to sink in and become something that really grips you deep inside. It's not like, hey, stick it on a post-it note somewhere and maybe you'll see it someday if the sticky still works. This is something that really should be important. So he says, people that I love, here's something you really need to know. Everyone. Greek word here means everyone. Everyone. So he's talking to everybody. He says, everyone, okay, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So he says this idea that every person, he says, look, I love you guys, and I want you to understand this. Every one of us needs to be quick to listen and then slow. And the word slow is what we think it means. It's just this idea of not just jumping in, not just reacting, not just responding right away, not just posting the first thing that comes to our mind related to that issue, not just sending that email in response, not just texting back, not just yelling, not just whatever. I really have an itch right of this paint on my nose. And it's going to look like I'm picking my nose. And it's going to be green, so that's really going to help. Sorry. Oh, okay, that's better. Okay, sorry. Focus. All right. He says, slow. Take your time. Think through it. Don't be rash. Don't be hasty. We need to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. And the word angry, I mean, it is this word. I mean, we know what it means. It's this idea of wrath, of fury, of rage. We're going to look at a passage in a little bit, but in the Old Testament, there's a word that is used for an angry person, and it's the same word that is used for fire. this idea of rage, of smoldering. And James says, look, we need to be slow to become angry. We need to stop reacting. We need to stop responding. We need to stop just doing what feels best. And as we'll see in a little bit, it doesn't even matter if you're right. We need to stop doing it that way. Instead, we need to be slow to become angry. Then he continues on, and it talks about how anger, and this is, again, I'm gonna. If you learn this in church, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. But the second thing he says, that anger leads to sin. Anger leads to sin. And he goes on and then says, because human, and I want you to understand that I have highlighted the word human on purpose, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. James is saying, look, human anger, your anger, that does not get you closer to God. In fact, it's drawing you away from Him. God wants us to be righteous. And that doesn't mean that we're smarter or better than people or we judge people or look down on them. It's saying righteousness is this idea of being more like Jesus. And James is saying, look, when you get angry, you don't look more like Jesus. Frankly, you look less like Jesus. And you're like, but wait, but Jesus was angry. Yes, He was. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I want you to understand that for most of us, especially, again, this is where I'm going to mess with you if you grew up in church and you think, oh, well, Jesus was angry, so there's a righteous anger and I could be righteously angry. And that is true. But I think most of the time, that's just an excuse for us to get angry our own way. Because I would say, and I don't know you, I don't know every deep thought of your heart and your mind and your soul and all that, but I would say that most of the time that we get angry, we call it righteous anger, but it's just selfishness. It's just sin. It's just us doing something because we got hurt or we didn't get our way. And we'll talk again more about that in a little bit. Because James is saying, look, guys, human anger, if we get angry, it's not bringing us closer to Jesus. And as I was talking with Brian, since he's away, I had to meet with him earlier this week so he could give you the discussion guides for prime groups this week. And I was saying, you know, what I really want you guys to get, what I really want us to get is it's almost basic. But I want you to understand that anger is wrong. Like, anger is sin. It is wrong. Because I think if we don't get that, because I think a lot of us think that, well, this situation is okay. But you don't know what they did to me. Well, they deserved it because. And there's this idea, well, or the answer that we often throw out, right? Well, I just had a really rough day. James says, I don't care. I don't give a crap about your day. Be slow to anger because your anger does not bring you closer to God. It doesn't bring about the righteousness that God wants. And so we need to get this idea that anger is wrong. Human anger is wrong. And again, I'll get to Jesus in a little bit. So all you sweating your theology, it's okay. But human anger is wrong because anger leads to sin. And Jesus, just in case you weren't sure, Jesus says this, and I don't have it on the screen here. It's in Matthew 5. Don't go there. I'll just read it to you. Jesus is talking to the crowds, and he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders is subject to judgment. People listening to Jesus are like, that makes sense. I remember that. Murder bad. You murder someone, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? He says, but I tell you, and Jesus, man, just keep your butt out of it. That's where he always, when he says the but I, he always changes it. It makes it hard for us. Makes it so we can't just make excuses. He makes it real. He says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone says to a brother or sister, raka, which is an Aramaic term that was like idiot, jerk. So if you want to use raka and post it on Facebook, and people are like, what's that all about? You can act smart. But anyone who says raka to his brother or sister is answerable to the court. Anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus says, look, murder is bad. Killing people is bad. Killing people will bring about judgment. He says hating and anger is the same way in his book. Anger leads to sin. Anger is an issue that we need to deal with. The third thing that James brings out here is that anger comes from selfishness. Think about it. Most of the time that we get angry, it's because we didn't get our way. And that might be in little things like, oh, I really wanted that to happen and you stopped me, so you cut me off in traffic, I didn't get my way, I'm angry. Road rage, boom, we're good to go. It's okay, because it's road rage. That's an excuse, right? Other times it's maybe big picture stuff. I really wanted that promotion, and I didn't get it. I really wanted them to pull through and they didn't. And so we have this anger. Maybe it's anger directed at God or whatever. But ultimately, it comes down to we didn't get our way. Anger is an issue that is about us, about me, I, what I want. And the root of it is selfishness. And so James says, James being aware that anger is about selfishness, he goes on and says, therefore, get rid of, which means totally throw it out, be gone, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this verse at first, and then I realized, like, it's part of the paragraph, it's part of the context of what James is talking about. He says, look, anger is bad, anger is a selfish thing. And he says, here, do you want to deal with it? We need to get rid of all the junk in our lives, and humbly, and this word humbly is such a cool word, because the different things I've read, they can't translate it into English effectively, because we don't have a good enough word. The Greek word is enprautes, and it means this idea of meekness. It means a meekness of the soul, an internal grace. Like, the idea is that a person that is not going to respond in anger, they're going to be humble. They're going to accept every instruction. They're going to listen to things. They're going to be the kind of person, let's put it this way, that if you point out a flaw, they're going to say, maybe I should work on that. Rather than react in anger. Who do you think you are? Well, you're not so perfect anyway. Well, you may be, how's that thing go? I may be fat, but you're ugly and I can diet. That was a magnet my grandmother had on the fridge. She's a sweet little lady. But, you know, we're like, oh, well, I'm going to say something about you because you're saying something about me. And, like, and this idea James is talking about is like, whoa, no, step back. Even if it's coming from me right now, who do you think you are to talk about anger? Oh, believe me, I know who I am to talk to you about anger. He says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is saying, look, don't react. Don't respond to this. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I love you, dear brothers and sisters. But look, I want you just to take a moment and step back. Put yourself aside. And just accept what he is saying. Accept this word that is being planted in you. Because it's the one. It's what can save you. It's what can change you. And so this idea is that anger, it's selfishness. The root of anger is selfishness. That's what causes it. That's what drives it. And James is saying, look, it's not about you. I think we've said this like 8 times in the last 6 weeks. It's not about you. So get rid of it. So anger can be slow. Should be slow, sorry. Anger leads to sin. And then anger comes from selfishness. This idea of selfishness, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, and there's this old Norman Rockwell, I believe it's a Norman Rockwell painting, I could be wrong, but it's a picture of a man, maybe it's a comic strip, a picture of a man being yelled at by his boss at work. And then the next scene is him coming home and yelling at his wife. And then the next scene is the wife yelling at the kids. And then the next scene is the kid kicking the dog. And it's this idea that, you know, well, there's a phrase that has to do with running downhill. But anyway, it's this idea that we're always looking at someone below us. We're always looking to kick the dog because someone else hurt us, so we're going to kick someone else. We're going to pick the easy target. And that's all about selfishness. I got hurt. My feelings got hurt. Something didn't go my way, and therefore I'm going to kick it out on you. And we're going to talk about this later too, but like, I mean, how much are our kids like that? I mean, not like that, the recipients of that. You know, I guess I can't really yell at my boss. I guess I could. We'll talk about that in March. But the idea, like, how many of us, something happens somewhere else, and we bring that and then, you know, take it to the lowest person on the totem pole, the person below us, because it's all about selfishness. And again, this idea of they deserve it. Oh, you don't know what they did. James says it doesn't really matter because it's about you getting hurt. It's about your feelings getting hurt. And ultimately, it does not bring about the righteousness that God wants. It doesn't make you more like his son Jesus. So, the shocking truth is that anger doesn't accomplish anything. Doesn't accomplish anything. And I say that understanding that Jesus got angry, but for most of us, when we react, when we respond, our anger is not bringing us closer to Jesus. Instead, it's driving us further away from him. It's bringing a wedge. We end up hulking out and causing damage and destruction in our wake. So, let's talk about Jesus. There was no Hulk in Jesus. Jesus was perfectly human, perfectly God, 100% sinless. And so what do we see? There's a couple of key passages in the New Testament. First of all, we see that Jesus was angry at sin. There was an anger at sin that Jesus demonstrated. And in Mark chapter 3, the situation here, and again, don't turn there. I'm just going to summarize it for you. But the situation there is that it's the Sabbath. And the Pharisees that were already mad at Jesus, they didn't like him rocking their world. And the Sabbath, according to the law, and the laws they added to the law, and the laws they added to the laws that they added to the law, said you cannot do any work on the Sabbath. Now, the Old Testament law did say that, but not in these dramatic, drastic ways where you couldn't even like turn on a light or light a candle because that was considered work. Couldn't walk this many steps. And so they added all this junk to it. And so Jesus knew this, and he's in the synagogue, or is he the temple courts, frankly, I don't remember. But he's with, the Pharisees are around him, and they're watching him. What's he going to do? And this man with a shriveled hand, there was some sort of condition, he came up to Jesus, and they were looking to see, what is Jesus going to do? And Jesus said to them, what's more lawful, for me to follow your law or to do good on the Sabbath? And of course, their reaction was, follow the law. And it says that Jesus became angry at their calloused hearts. He became angry at their bitterness. And so in this situation, Jesus was angry at their sin because they didn't get it. He's saying, look, there's something better, and you're just worried about the stupid little details. And so Jesus was angry in that situation. He was angry at sin. Didn't say that he was angry at the Pharisees as much, but at their actual hearts. And the fact that their sin was keeping them from seeing God do some great things. The second thing we really that's clear in all four Gospels of Jesus is his anger at injustice. And it's the classic story of the, maybe not classic, but in all four Gospels we see the story of Jesus in the temple. And he goes into the temple courts, and the temple is where the worship of God is supposed to take place. And in the courts of the temple, which is outside, it's like inside the fence, but not in the actual worship place, there were money changers that, and there were a bunch of different people selling things that were used to worship God. So if you came from New York City, and you couldn't get there. Maybe you took the bridge that exists. Anyway, you get to Israel on your camel, and you get there, and you're like, oh man, it's been a long trip. I'm kind of tired, but I want to worship God. And so there were people in the temple like, oh, we can help you out here. Do you need something to worship God with? We've got doves. We've got calves. We've got everything you need right here on sale now. Come on. And so there are these people that were selling stuff. And in itself, there wasn't anything wrong with it, but they were like, oh, you're from out of town, huh? Oh. Well, look, this is going to cost you. Look, I know that normally I would charge you $7. Seven $1 bills, but I'm going to cut you a deal. For just one $50 bill, you can have a dove. Just one $50 bill. Not seven $1 bills. You're from out of town. Welcome to Israel. Welcome to the temple. And that's what they were doing. They were cheating people. And if you didn't pick up the math there, I did. $7 is less than $50. But it was a $1, $50 bill versus $7. So they were cheating. They were cheating the people that were coming in to worship. There were also money changers saying, oh, yeah, your money from New York City doesn't work here. You need to trade it in for this kind of for the local money. And so they were cheating people. And so Jesus walked into the temple and said, whoa, wait a second. This is supposed to be a place of worship, and instead, there's people cheating people everywhere. Like, out of all the places, it shouldn't be happening at the temple. So he goes in and says he made a whip and starts whipping this thing and literally kicking people out, turning their tables over, driving them out of the temple. Jesus was angry. And Jesus was angry at injustice. He was angry that these bad things were happening. And so those are the two key examples of Jesus being angry in the Bible. And so we get that. Jesus was angry at sin, angry at injustice. We can and should be angry at sin and angry at injustice. Here's the one difference between us and Jesus, is that Jesus was fully God and sinless. You are not God, I am not God. You are not sinless, I am not sinless. And again, I'm not saying we can't get angry at the wrong, at the right things. And sometimes some of us should get angry about things and really stir up within us that there's people that are going to hell without Jesus and we're not doing anything about it. There's children that are living in Oaxaca without food and we're going to do something about it. That's a good anger. But I want just to caution you that we are very good at justifying the wrong things and calling it righteous anger. Jesus pulled it off. He could. He was perfect. He is perfect. He is God. We are not. And so, again, I'm leaving a little gray there, I know. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say that our anger, for the most part, is not the righteous kind. Me getting mad at my my son because, you know, he spilled a pellet on the ground and me blow it off. Just, why'd you put a pellet on the ground? That's money. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus had in mind, right? Anger at sin and justice and spilled pellets on the floor. We have a pellet stove. It wasn't like a rabbit pellet because that's different, right? But that's the deal. So understand there is a righteous anger. There is, and Jesus pulled it off. I just caution you to be careful using Jesus as your example. Well, that sounds really bad. I would caution you to use, I want you to use Jesus as your example. Let me say that. I would caution you to use that as your excuse for getting angry, because James seemed to understand that, you know what, human anger, godly anger is right, is good. Jesus' anger, it's all good. But human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So let's do a quick overview of the Bible. Jesus, James says that human anger is bad. Human anger does not bring us closer to God. So let's look at how it happened in the Bible. Now, I'm going to share a person, and then I'm going to share the result. And you can't read those first lines there because it's hard to see. Sorry about that. But the person is on the left, and the result is on the right. The first person we see is Cain in the Bible, in Genesis. And Cain had an issue. He was angry because his brother Abel's offering was accepted. His was not. He was pretty ticked off. Why did God accept his offering? We don't know. You can listen to it on one of the points from the Hero series last summer. But Cain was angry. And what was his anger's response? Oh, you know what? Let's just solve it. We'll kill my brother. So he killed his brother. That was the first murder in the Bible. And so his anger did not produce righteousness that God desired. And it was funny because when Cain was angry, God says, Hey, Cain, I just want you to know that sin is crouching at your door. Sin is ready to take over. If you don't deal with your anger now, you're going to sin. And he did. The next person we've got is Esau. Esau, if you don't know the story, Esau and Jacob, they're two brothers. They're twins. Jacob came out second. From the womb, Esau was the oldest, Jacob was the second. Jacob cheated his dad, stole the birthright from Esau. It makes sense. It's not really a good thing to do. You don't want to do that. You don't want to steal stuff from your brother. But anyway, all that to say that Esau became so angry at Jacob that he threatened he was going to kill him. And so it caused this family that we're talking about twin brothers. We're talking about a community that is way tighter than families are, you know, in America, that is way tighter in our culture. It was a different kind of thing there. And it broke their family where they had to flee. The whole family had to go and split off. It was not good. Then you move on. You've got the next person. You got Joseph's brothers. Joseph was the golden child. He did things nice. His dad liked him more. Joseph's a little snotty. Okay, we'll understand. He wasn't the best boy in the group. But his brothers got so angry with him that it came to the point where, you know, we call it sold into slavery. But it's human trafficking. Do you get that? That's a bad thing. They sold their brother into slavery out of anger. Their brother, their flesh and blood, because they were angry that their dad liked them a little more. Not a good result. The next person, Moses. This is the killer. Moses, okay? Moses, who helped with God, through God, or by God working through him, he performed the 10 plagues in Egypt. He delivered the people miraculously. There are all these other little signs. They went through the Red Sea. It was parted. It was dry. They walked through. It came down, crashed, killed Pharaoh and his people. Boom. They went through the desert, and there were all these different things that happened out there that God provided quail every day, and Moses was a part of that. God provided water for the people, provided manna and for the people every day, and Moses was a part of that. All these different things God saw. Or Moses saw God do some incredible things through him. Some amazing miracles. And at one little spot, the people that he was leading were a pain, which they were a lot. They were a pain a lot. But in this one spot, God said, look, they were complaining about not having water. And God said, look, Moses, go to this rock and speak to this rock. And when you speak to this rock, it will produce water for you. Well, Moses was so angry that he went up to the rock and he hit it with his staff. Now, you should know that that's exactly the way God told him a few years earlier, how to get water from the rock is to touch it with your staff. Well, Moses ignored God's command. Just a little difference. Speak to the rock, strike to the rock. Moses was so angry at the people that he struck the rock and water still came out. But God said, look, Moses, you've been spending your entire time here getting ready to deliver these people from Egypt, from slavery, into the promised land, the land I promised to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the land that you were going to be given, your family, everybody's been waiting for this, Moses. And you got angry, and so you've lost it. You're not going in. Joshua's going to take them into the land. Because of Moses' anger, he lost the promised land. After all that he did, one moment of hasty anger, and he lost the whole thing. So, moving on. Samson. We talked about him during the Hero series as well. And in Samson, he was just all about angry. I mean, he got angry at everybody for everything. Now, he was kind of a jerk, too. You know, he did some things that weren't terribly polite and did some things. But the issue was that his life was just marred by anger. Now, God used that anger, but ultimately his anger cost him his own life, literally. because he was angry, he tried to get retribution, and some things happened with Delilah, and therefore he ended up losing his life at the very end there. So, Samson. King Saul. This is not Saul from the New Testament. This is King Saul from the Old Testament. He was the one that was the king before David. And in the passage, there's and we talked about this before in one of the series too, about how David went out and fought in the armies, and Saul went out and fought in the battles. And when they came back, everybody was like, hey, David, or Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And the people were all excited about David. And it said that Saul got angry. And because of his anger, eventually, I mean, he loses the kingdom because of it. Now, there's other issues that were going on here. I want you to understand that. But that was the incident, the way that God took the kingdom away from Saul was because of his anger at David. He spent the rest of his kingdom, the rest of his life, literally, trying to get back at David because he was so angry. So moving on. King Ahab. This is a really obscure passage in the Bible. But he was one of the bad kings in 1 Kings. And well, let's just say he killed a guy because he wanted his land, because the guy said, no, I'm not going to give you my land. It's my land. He said, okay, well, we'll find another way around it. He got angry because the guy didn't give it to him, so he killed him. Moving on. Then you got the older brother, the story of the prodigal son. And that was Parable Series. That was a couple years ago. You can listen to that. But the older brother was angry because his younger brother was being celebrated for coming home. And the father said, welcome home. Good to be back. Good to have you. And the older brother's like, no, no way. I'm angry. And so he missed the celebration. He missed his father throwing this wonderful banquet. He missed the grace of his dad. And, you know, as the parable works, he missed the grace of God. And then finally, we have the classic. The Pharisees and the crowds were angry with Jesus, and they said, crucify him. And so they crucified Jesus. So, all that to say, anger doesn't accomplish anything. Anger doesn't accomplish anything. Throughout the Bible, we see that it doesn't. So, I've got 5 minutes to go through the stuff that I wanted to take 25 minutes for. I want to talk about how do we deal with the green within. If you understand that anger is wrong, if you believe that anger is sin, and that yes, Jesus did it, he pulled it off, but the most of the time, we can't do it, we don't do it the right way, how do we deal with it? Now, I'm going to share a whole bunch of things, and I don't want you to get overwhelmed by all of them, but I'd like you to pick, you know, what are your top two? What are the things that you need to work on? Because here's the deal, when it comes to anger, and frankly, when it comes to most of the emotions that we're going to be talking about this month, we're like vampires. When it comes to anger, we're like vampires because we can't see it in the mirror. Other people know if you have an anger problem. I guarantee it. Everyone around you, those closest to you, know if you struggle with anger. But a lot of times we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, we're fine. We don't see it. And so I'd encourage you to find someone that you trust and that loves you that can maybe say, hey, dear brother, dear sister, ask them if you have an anger problem. Now, chances are they're afraid to tell you. Because if they tell you, you'll go off on them. So you kind of got yourself in a pickle there. But I encourage you just to find someone and put it aside, put away self, put away me, and just say, hey, is this something I struggle with? Because everyone around you knows. I guarantee it. And by the way, I struggle with it. So here's some things we can do. Those closest to you know the best, so they really know, your kids know. So here's some things you can do. First of all, one thing you can do is keep short accounts. Short accounts. And this is the idea of keeping it together. And here's what I'm flying through verses here, and if you want them later, you can get them if you want. But here's in Ephesians chapter 4, here's what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. So he says, there's a right anger there. But he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. There's a lot of stuff we can unpack here, but Paul is saying, look, anger is something you need to deal with now. Don't let it fester. Don't let it go. If you are angry at someone or someone is angry at you, deal with it now. Do not let the sun go down. He says, by the end of the day, if you've got an anger problem, if you have an issue with someone, you need to deal with it. Keep short accounts with people. There was a coworker that I had that would often regularly come into me and say, are we okay? And sometimes we were, sometimes we weren't. And I love that. I was like, you know, this is great. Are we okay? Yeah, let's talk through this. And I try to do that with some of you. I mean, I try to, hey, are we okay? You're like, oh, you're a pastor. That's why you're saying that. But I want to keep those short accounts. I don't think there's something festering, something going on behind the scenes. So short accounts is one thing. The next thing is direct conversations. We need to have direct conversations. And this is what Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 5. I read the first part of this verse. He goes on and says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister, look what he says here, has something against you, leave the gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Jesus says, look, if someone's angry at you, if there's an anger issue, you need to go to that person and deal with it. You need to go to that person. And it might not even be that you're angry with them, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but maybe they're angry at you. Jesus says, look, don't even come to worship without dealing with the problem. You need to have direct conversations with people. That's what he says there. So, keeping short accounts, having direct conversations. The next one here, I wanted to phrase, there's the rest. I didn't even finish the verse, sorry. He goes on and says, settle matters quickly. Do it while you're still together on the way, or they'll judge you and hand you over to the judge. Anyway, it's really good too. So moving on. The next thing is short accounts, direct conversations. The other thing is friendly living. Some of you are not very nice. Friendly living, that's what I'm calling it. Like, be nice. Be a nice person. There's a great way to deal with anger issues is if you're nice. Some of you are not nice. You're just not. They're like, oh, I have to talk to them. Oh, you know, because they're going to bite my head off about something. And this is what in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living in peace. Work at being a good person. Work at making sure that, and this is work. He doesn't say, like, let it happen. He says, work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. He equates holiness and living at peace with other people. He equates being a friendly person with being a holy person, being a godly person. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. And he says, corrupting many. And I will guarantee, he's talking to the church here, that in the church, if there's bitterness between two people in the church here, it's just two of you, it will corrupt the whole thing. I guarantee it. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen again. I've seen it happen again. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, work at living at peace. Work at being a friendly person. Don't assume the worst motives. And I'm the person that does that all the time. I know. Like, oh, they didn't say hi. They're probably leaving the church. That's usually how I take it. It's always something drastic like that. So friendly living. The next thing is intentional listening. And this is what we just read in James. James says, look, be quick to listen. A lot of times you just shut your mouth. You won't have as many problems. But some of us are so quick to speak and quick to become angry that we cause issues, and there's anger issues, and there's bitterness, and there's things that we're dealing with because we're not quick to listen. And James just says, shut your mouth and listen. Listen first. Because a lot of times, again, that last thing, the bitterness, the things that we don't get, a lot of times that comes from misunderstanding. And if you just take the time to listen, and if husbands, listen to your wives, wives, listen to your husbands, that's one of the main areas, the misunderstanding. Like, just listen. So intentional listening. Take the time to say, hey! No, don't respond with how you're going to prove that you're right. Just listen. Moving on. The next thing is patient attitudes. Patient attitudes. And this is in Proverbs 15:18. And here's this word, hot-tempered person, the word that means fire. A person of fire, a hot-tempered person, stirs up conflict. But the one who is patient calms the quarrel. Some of you need to worry about focusing on being patient. Because you're going to react. You're going to respond. You're going to say, get your way out. See? Look at the damage. I dropped my water. But patience. Patience is what calms the quarrel. And the thing about this is that a lot of us, we're so human. We're like, but I want my way. I want to win. I want to prove. And let me tell you that getting your way, winning and proving, rarely works. You're not going to debate somebody into the kingdom of God. You're not going to prove your rightness to get them to become more like Jesus. It just won't happen. I guarantee you. Because I've given all sorts of guarantees now. But the issue of patience, like, we're going to win people by how we're different. By how we love, by how our hearts are not angry and hot-tempered, but patient. And saying, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. things like that, just listening. I mean, they all come together. Which leads into the next one, patient attitude, gentle answers. This idea for patient attitudes. Francis Chan has a quote from Crazy Love. He says, "Stress says that the things that we are involved in are important enough to merit our impatience, our lack of grace towards others, or our tight grip of control." That's what I said earlier. We often use that as, "Oh, I was just really stressed. It's been a really hard day." I don't care. James doesn't care. God doesn't care. He does care. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, "Oh, that's an excuse." Patience. Gentle answers. Proverbs 15:1, same chapter. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." If you want to help deal and get rid of the green within, if you want to deal with that issue, be a person that responds gently. Even if you're right. Even if they don't deserve it. Make yourself a person that responds with gentle answers. That's how you solve things. We're so interested in getting it right. I mean, we come like the Hatfields and McCoys. Who knows? If generations earlier or however, you know, the two families that fought for a long time. Yes? No? Okay. Anyway, who knows if just someone said, "Oh, I didn't realize that. I like you anyway." That would have been it. But instead, we have generations of battle and fighting and death and hurt. And it escalates and escalates and escalates. And the writer of Proverbs here says, look, respond gently, and that's going to solve a lot. So, then it's a gentle answer. And then finally, the last one is past apologies. Past apologies. Maybe some of you have responded in anger to someone. And last week we talked about the old is gone and we burned it. If you go on Facebook, you'll see the actual burning of those love letters. But some of you need to amend some past things. And maybe this was last week you responded in anger to someone and you need to apologize. You need to confess to them and say, "I'm sorry, that was wrong." Maybe it was years ago. Maybe there's something that is in your life that a person you haven't talked to for years because of something that happened back then. Maybe you got angry, maybe they got angry. Maybe you need to apologize. Here's what James says later in the book of James. He says, "Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with." He says, look, confess to each other. That's what's going to make the relationships work. If there's something there in between, deal with it. Apologize. Say you're sorry. Step up and do that. And that could heal and fix tons of things in your life. So, there it is. Short accounts, direct conversations, friendly living, intentional listening, patient attitudes, gentle answers, and past apologies. Because ultimately the truth is that anger doesn't accomplish anything. We need to work at getting rid of the green guy, not living that way, but instead being people that are more like Jesus. So, let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And I know there's a lot of things we've flown through here. And as we look at this passage, it is not something I'm teaching them. This is something you're teaching me. And God, I pray that you would help me to not respond in anger, to respond in love, to respond the way you've called me to respond. I pray for each person in here, God, for whatever the issue is, whatever these things that we just talked about, if there's bitterness, if there's an apology, if there's just a response that needs to be soft, whatever these things are, God, I just pray that you would help us to see them, help us to see ourselves in the mirror, to see the things that we need to work on, and that you would change us. Because in doing that, in getting rid of our anger, we become more righteous. We become more like Jesus. Thank you for him, for his grace and love, despite the fact that we screw up all the time. You still love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.